Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah!
ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, live from the Old National Bank Studio. WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Day away from opening day in Major League Baseball.
Can you believe it?
Yes.
One day away, opening day, Major League Baseball.
Baseball, Ray.
And with March Madness and everything, it's kind of like it hasn't even started.
Well, it hasn't started.
I mean, spring tomorrow training I'm talking about.
Come on.
We watched pitchers and catchers report.
We watched the World Baseball Classic.
Jesse Rogers with his ever-compelling stories coming out of spring training.
Do you want to know why pitchers and catchers reporting doesn't have the same oomph it used to have?
The same panache?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think this year, if I'm not mistaken.
The Super Bowl ran into it?
It happened like 4 days before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. You got buried.
Within the next, we'll call it 3 to 5 years, the Super Bowl is going to be played on President's Day weekend. They're going to go to an 18th game. They're going to go to a 19-week schedule.
They are.
They will push back even further. This year was almost Valentine's Day. Within the next couple of years, we will be watching Super Bowl Sunday on President's Day weekend. It'll be almost the end of February. Pitchers and catchers report second week, usually of February. It's meaningless. It gets. You talk about loss in the ether. For the foreseeable future, nothing in this country in terms of sports is competing with the NFL. Nothing. Nothing can compete with the monolith that is the National Football League. And so when you say, gosh, what happened? Pitchers and catchers report spring training. It feels like we never even had it because the start of it coincided with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's why.
Now, the World Baseball Classic was awesome. I know, not for everybody.
You enjoyed the living age out of it.
Loved it.
It's Japan's pastime.
Right.
Baseball. Used to be America's pastime, but now it's Japan's sport. Go ahead, Carm.
But I think that's part of the challenge. I think it's part of the problem. If baseball were smart, easy for me to say. I gave you the template. I gave you the new schedule. I gave it to baseball. They don't want to listen to me. They don't listen to me, Yurko. You start your season on April 15th. That is Jackie Robinson Day.
And you end September 15th.
And you end, well, I...
You said it.
I said you should end Labor Day weekend, even before that. You should play your playoffs in September.
During the first month of the NFL season.
Thank you. In the infancy of the football season, when it's still wildly popular, don't get me wrong, but it's still the beginning, you should be playing your most important time of year. You are killing two birds with one stone, in a sense, because not only have you structured your calendar now to get away from football a little, you are also avoiding miserable weather conditions in many of the undomed northern cities, whether that's games in the first couple weeks of the season or games into October, late October, early November for your World Series. You are checking all sorts of boxes, but the box that matters most to them is this one.
Is the money box.
Is the money box.
Yeah, the cash box.
The cash box.
Yeah, there's a fly on the money box.
They're going to rock that cash box. Are they rocking a cash box in the song, Yurko? What is that anyway?
Rock the cash box. That's rock the cash box.
Oh, the cash box. My bad. Yeah. I thought it was
the
rock the cash box.
The Sharif don't like it.
Is that what it is? Is that what they're rocking?
They're rocking the cash box. In Arabic is cash box.
Oh, is it?
Well, there you go. Oh, I was going to say, how beautiful that would be, Abdallah. I mean, okay, you're pulling my leg. I thought for a second maybe you were being honest. So what's important to them is all the revenue, and they don't want to sacrifice games. But if baseball were smart, and it might, if they had the vision, it might lead to a more popular sport, which would lead to more revenue down the line. They should eliminate games because they play far too many in this day and age. Nobody's got the patience for it. I'm old, and I don't have the patience for it. And now I'm glad they've changed the game in terms of pitch clock.
I don't want to sit through
a four-hour game.
I think you're talking about a 128-game schedule, something like
sure.
that.
Sure, 130 games even? Yeah. It's perfect. The sport could stand to have a bunch of games lopped off of the season. I love that they're speeding up the game. I think that'll be great. The sport could use getting away from football a little bit more. All sports can. Golf did it.
Golf
we use this as a reference point all the time. Golf thought they were getting, the PGA thought they were getting cute. Like, watch this, the FedEx Cup playoffs in September. Yeah. It was such an epic failure.
Yeah.
Within like 5 years, the PGA Tour said, whoops, let's play this in August.
We made a mistake.
Before the football season starts.
Yeah.
Nothing can compete with football.
Right, but even football, even preseason football is garbage. But still nothing can compete with football. But if you're going to, go against preseason garbage football. It's such garbage that they've lessened it to 3 games. Used to be 7 games. Did you know that preseason used to be 7 games?
7 games? I don't remember seven games.
7 games preseasons in the 70s.
Really?
7-game preseasons, 14-game schedule.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid it was always 4 games.
Yeah.
But occasionally you'd have the 5th if you played the Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game would give you five games.
Yeah.
7 games in the preseason.
No wonder why those guys were dead by November. I mean, like, what the heck? 2-a-days and 7 preseason games. But, hey, they don't want to listen to me. I get it. But Yurko and I, we laid it out for him a year ago. We told Jesse. We said, Jesse, you know people. Bring it to the powers that be. Shorten your season. Get rid of some of the cold, miserable weather games in weeks. And don't compete against the NFL. Play your playoffs in September. Be done by October 5th. I think it would be great for baseball. And there's no more perfect way to start than on one of their most important days every year, where the entire league celebrates. Every player in uniform wears 42. You start on Jackie Robinson Day, arguably the most significant person in your sports history. Certainly one of the three. Start it then, and, you know, we'd be off and running. But instead, we start tomorrow. I think the weather's going to be okay. I saw some showers in the morning, maybe. Tracy was off this morning, wasn't she? Or did I see Tracy?
Well, I didn't see the news. I didn't see the news this morning,
Carm. I don't think I saw Tracy this morning. I think she was off this morning.
So I can't. Well, she might be on vacation. I mean, this is that time of year.
I think Tracy was off. I saw on the news maybe some showers early, but nothing major, and temperatures, I think, around 51. So tomorrow night might not be bad. We're going to be out to celebrate opening day. Do I wish it were 2 weeks later? Sure, but I still love opening day in baseball. I can't wait for tomorrow. I can't wait to watch the White Sox and the Astros at night. Remember, it's a night game. It's a national TV game tomorrow night. You will catch it right here on ESPN 1000. So if you've got it on ESPN tomorrow, turn the sound down and turn Len and DJ all the way up. Connor will have your pregame. I think it's a 6 o'clock first pitch tomorrow for national TV in Houston as the White Sox open. But for Cubs opening day, 121st pitch at Wrigley against the Brew Crew, we will be in Wrigleyville at Old Crow Smokehouse / Smoke Show with Miller Lite. Cap and hoodie starting at 7. They go to 10. We will be on for a full 4-hour ride tomorrow, 10 until 2.
I'm excited.
We'll have Jesse. Jesse won't be there in person. He's got a different assignment for national ESPN. But Jesse will join us on the phone. Connor McKnight's going to come on. Jason Benetti's going to join us from Houston ahead of the game tomorrow. I know that Jed Hoyer is going on with Cap and Hoodie in the morning at some point. So there will be plenty to talk about and break down. And if you're going to be in Wrigleyville, please make sure you come by and say hi. Old Crow is great because it's huge. There's a lot of space.
It is big. And they've got two sides.
And they have two sides.
Two sides.
And so make sure you come by and see us. It can accommodate a lot of people. The Miller Lite will be cold. The food's always great. And say hi to us if you're going to Cubs opening day.
And that's I can't wait.
And that's my spiel.
That's your spiel for the day.
I was going to start that way today, but that's my spiel.
You want to shorten baseball. You want baseball to be beautiful. I understand why you want baseball to be beautiful.
I think hockey should shorten its season. I think the NBA should shorten its season. I think they all, other than football, should shorten their seasons.
Here's what's my dilemma. My dilemma is this is the beginning of the season. This is when you have the most hope, and I don't have any hope.
You don't have any hope?
Both sides of town. If either one of these teams can get to 84 victories,
I have
I think it's a miracle. No, 84 victories. Okay. It'll be a miracle.
I think I am talking myself into this because I don't want the White Sox window to be closed already.
84 and 78. That window barely was open.
I'm talking myself
into... That window was never wide open, I tell you that for darn sure.
I'm talking myself into the White Sox, like if all goes exactly right, if every break goes their way, there's a chance. I said this to Dion yesterday. I think I was talking about it yesterday with Dion when I was in for Cap and Hoodie, was me and Dion. The one thing the White Sox still have going for them is, I think on merit, like talent-wise, they do have talent. I mean, they've got five of baseball's top 100 players.
Unrealized talent is the worst type of talent to have sometimes.
But even unrealized, I mean, look, I wouldn't say Eloy's unrealized talent. The problem is these guys are always getting hurt. I think we know when Eloy plays, he's awesome. When Robert plays, I think he's really good. Even Moncada, we talked about the every other year thing. Like, Moncada could be in line for a good year, but what happened at the end of the World Baseball Classic? He hurt his rib, now he's got a back injury. These are the things that drive me nuts. And so maybe that's what you're alluding to. Like, yeah, you've got talent on paper, but it never seems to materialize and everybody healthy together at once. That seems to be the biggest problem for them. The other thing they have going for them, Yurk, is no disrespect to Cleveland, and I think Cleveland's very good. And I wish my beloved White Sox would play like the Guardians sometimes. What do you know? I got it right. I don't think this division, there's not a juggernaut in this division. One of Cleveland's best pitchers just got shut down for 2 months with the lat, and we know what that's like for pitchers. I mean, who knows when Tristan McKenzie's back? Like, outside of Bieber, their bullpen's awesome.
Minnesota was off last year. They were good the year before.
Minnesota's got a chance to be good.
Right. Detroit, you have no chance to do anything with.
I don't know. They're like the wild card for me because everybody thought they would take a step last year, myself included, and they were pretty miserable.
They're bad. Kansas City's Kansas City.
Yeah, exactly.
But the White Sox can't beat them. It's Kansas City's Kansas City. They're bad, but the White Sox can't beat them.
I still think the Sox, like, somehow, if all goes right in a division that is very winnable without a dominant
What's
team.
What's your prediction of how many wins the division? 86?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're above 500 team, you're going to be in it until September.
Yeah.
Trying to find a way to get hot. I get it. I understand.
I don't know.
I mean, we'll it's not like the NL Central is going to be a juggernaut of anything.
I don't think it is at all.
The NL West is a murderer's row out there. That's between tough. LA and San Diego.
That's tough.
The East is Atlanta, right? Atlanta's sitting there smiling
the Mets,
at
think
you.
Think about how good the Mets could potentially be. They lost Edwin Diaz, but.
Yeah, they spend, but.
Oh, the Phillies, too, York.
Philadelphia.
That's going to be a juggernaut.
Well, that's the point, I think. The West and the East.
Yeah.
Are where the stories in baseball are.
Yeah.
The Central. The flyover country is truly flyover country in baseball this year.
In both leagues.
Yes.
You'd agree.
Yeah.
Both leagues, 100% right. Think about the AL West. Houston, think about Houston. Seattle.
Yeah.
Maybe the Angels finally put it together.
But I'm saying Houston might be the only one, if you call that flyover country.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're so far south, you know what I'm saying? Houston's a legitimate team that you can take a look
at. They're just in the AL West.
Yeah, they're in the AL West.
The Central's are gettable again. So if there's any reason to be optimistic for the Cubs,
yeah, you get
Sox.
To go to the playoffs and lose. I mean, yes.
Yeah, but in baseball, if you at least get there.
Anything can happen.
Think about our Phillies, man. Who would have thought the Phillies would have made a run to the World Series?
You know? And they did. We sold the ticket.
Tomorrow we'll give you our full baseball preview show. We always like doing that. We'll give you all of our picks.
Manager of the year, rookie of the year.
All of it.
We don't have to do AL or NL. We have to do both.
You have to do both, yeah.
All right, both sides. Yep. I got you.
Both sides have
Who's going to the World Series?
All of that. We're going to do the whole full preview
Cubs
show tomorrow.
Cubs wins, Sox wins.
Yep. Do some Sox and Cubs over-unders and things like that for you tomorrow. Make sure you come by and see us at Old Crow. I've given the idea out before. Some people hate it. Some people like it. 312-332-3776. Not the idea of seeing us at Old Crow, my fixing baseball idea. I think it's the best way to fix baseball. I do love the fact that they address some of these other issues, though, in terms of speeding up the game.
We'll see.
I think it's going to help, and now we're going to find out.
We'll see if we have a Mark Burley game in the first day. We'll see.
I think it's really going to help. I think it's going to shave significant time off of these games. It's going to speed up the game, and I think that's good. I think baseball could still do more, and I think changing the way they structure their season, their schedule, I think could really help. 312-332-3776 if you want to discuss that with us. Hit us up on Twitter. Yurko's at Yurko64. That's Yurko with a J and the number 64. I'm at Carmen DeFalco. Got some NFL stuff still. Rules changes. One that didn't pass, and I was sort of happy to hear one of the owners stand up and say, hey, let's slow down. And from time to time, we really do have to think about our fans, and we can't just think about all the money we make, which is already obscene. Plus the very latest on Lamar. So lots going on this Wednesday. Feel free to jump in. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv, or download the app. We'll be right back.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back.
No, no, no.
This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's Home for Sports.
No.
Chris Black is a little worried if we start shortening the seasons too much, though, that we're going to have too many days like in the winter where all of a sudden there won't be anything on.
We got to have sports, guys.
We do have to have sports. That's true. I said, well, we're going to have to watch more college basketball, Chris. I don't watch much anymore.
When does hockey and when does basketball start? Professional basketball.
Well, they October. October into November. They have gone about the business of playing fewer games during the week and sort of stretching the season out. Same number of games. If we start reducing them, do we have too many nights?
Well, hold on now. That's what I'm going to tell you. I've got Thursday night football. I got Sunday football. I got Monday football. I got college football on two of those days, Saturday and Tuesday.
Maction. Like, Maction, come November, some, you get Maction on Tuesdays.
A little Maction.
Yeah.
I think you're covered.
This is more a concern for July and August, the dog days of the baseball season, because what else is...
But there's no hockey or basketball now anyway at those
times.
Yeah,
but baseball's every day.
Baseball's every day.
So if you shorten the baseball season, does it go from being an everyday thing, or what does it turn into?
No, it's still an everyday thing. Carmen has suggested, April 15th, you're taking away 2 weeks of the season.
And you've lopped off September.
That's 10, 12 games, and you took the whole month of September, which is about 25
games. You're taking 25 games there.
Right. So your games are just being shortened by the season, but it would still be the frequency of games. You'd still have...
Every day.
9 games still. Okay. You'd have to have the day off. You know, once every 21 days, you'd have to have a day off.
Yep. You would just get to Labor Day, be done,
stop.
And play your most exciting part of your season, the postseason.
In September.
While football's playing its first month.
In autumnal weather.
Right.
And so,
are you expanding the playoffs then?
I think you're where you're at now.
To allow more teams to participate, to get more home gates and to set it up?
Chris, that's a good point, because that would probably be the one thing, if the owners would ever do it, if they're going to say, wait a minute, we're lopping 35 games off of our schedule.
16 each.
If you told them you could add a playoff team, now they might.
Is it crazy to suggest maybe you shorten the season even more and everyone partakes in the playoffs?
That's crazy. Because how could Pittsburgh play in the playoffs?
Well, I mean, they lose a 4-game set and they're done. I mean, it's just four extra games, or three extra games, however you want to do it.
It's like the Indiana High School State Football Championships.
Yeah, right.
Every team makes the playoffs. Really? Even if you're 0-9,
wow,
you make the playoffs.
Ooh, that's interesting. All 30 teams make the playoffs. Can you imagine?
Well, I mean, I wonder if a team would then approach the trade deadline and the end of the season differently. Like, they're a loser, but they're the team... they can never put together for the full run, but they're frisky for the end of the season tournament or something.
All the wild variants in baseball. Would that open up some interesting possibilities or what? I love it. All right, so anything to fix baseball? 312-332-3776. Some people say it needs no fixing. That's cool. If that's what you believe, you can argue that point with us. But is there a way to tweak this schedule? Look, they've already done it with the rules to speed it up. I think they could stand to lop a bunch of games off their schedule. Still have... plenty of games, plenty of gate, plenty of revenue, an exciting season, and not compete as much as they do with the NFL in September and October. Let's go to Gorman in Mount Greenwood. What's up, Gorman?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Johnny, Carm, good to see you. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just curious, why wouldn't the NFL consider lopping off, as Johnny said, one of the garbage preseason games? If they're going to expand it to an 18-game season, and then, you know, the end of the season into the playoffs would be essentially right where it is now. That's what I would like to hear, the pros and cons to that.
I think they probably would.
I think they will lop off a game. I think they will. So when I went 7 exhibition games, it was 6.
6.
So it was 14 regular seasons, 6 in the 70s.
20 games.
When they got their antitrust exemption is when they kind of, the owner said, okay, we're going to put more preseason games in there. So it was 6. And then in 78, when they went to a 16-game schedule, that's when they limited it to 4.
So it's always, that makes sense. That math checks out now. And it's always sort of been that 20 game, right?
Yeah.
They went from 16-4 to 17-3. They're going to go to 18-2. It's always about like that 20 game number, and they'll just do 2 preseason.
Yeah. I mean, if the owners had their exhibition, I mean, if they had their druthers, exhibition matches is what they'd love. Because they didn't pay salaries to the individuals. They paid them a predetermined amount.
Mm.
Their salaries didn't kick in until they got to the regular season.
Oh, wow. So your overhead is much lower.
Like, I got paid like $1,200 a game.
Is
That's
that
all
right?
I got paid.
Is that the rule still today?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, there's it's negotiated in the CBA how much an individual gets paid for a preseason game.
No kidding. So like Khalil Mack, who's making 20, I'm just using a random example.
The first 2 weeks of practice or just practice, you get paid for those individual practices an X amount of dollars. I don't know what it is right now. When you start playing games, it kicks up a little bit.
Wow.
But it doesn't kick up substantially more.
Wow.
So they're, which is why they're unwilling to fight. They always want to keep those four exhibition games because it's guaranteed gate for them.
Because they're breaking up your contract was over the 16 games you played in the regular season.
So it's 17 games, now 18.
17 games.
So if you're making $5 million, it divides by 18, and that's how you get paid over the course of a season.
Over your 18 weeks. Okay, and that's why there's a predetermined number, which is much, much lower
and
for the
playoff preseason. Money's playoff money, and everybody now, in essence, takes a pay cut to play in the playoffs. Everybody gets a pay cut to play in the playoffs. Yeah.
Danny's in Lockport. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Or Yurko, you watching off of those ostriches? That was golden yesterday.
Yeah, dangerous.
We had
ostriches that could be killer ostriches.
I heard you guys talking about it on Waddle and Sylvie.
It was Would You Rather. Would you rather be like chased down by an ostrich? And
I heard that.
Maybe pecked to death, or I forget what the other one was. The other Would You Rather, but it was dangerous stuff.
I think it was flying half a foot off the ground.
Yeah, flying half a foot off the ground. No, would you want super strength? Right, but every time you had super strength, you'd drop a deuce.
Crap yourself.
Yeah, you crap yourself. Or would you be able to fly a half foot off the ground?
These are bizarre.
Yeah, well, it was a would you rather. It's a bizarre segment to begin with. Tommy's ready to jump ship on it, too, by the way.
I think I would.
I don't know if you listen to the show.
I listen.
But Tommy's ready to jump shit. Ship.
Oh, jeez, Yurko.
Sorry, speaking of. Stopped my pee. I stopped my pee short. I apologize.
What good?
Jump ship.
What good is flying a half a foot off the ground?
That's what they said. I would take super strength. I mean, imagine not, but I don't want to drop a deuce every time. You got to shower every time.
It's kind of like the Incredible Hulk. You always had to get new clothes and new shoes.
If you're half a foot off the ground, imagine you never wear out your shoes.
That's true.
Right? There's nothing, no price to pay for being able to just gallivant, even though it's a half a foot above the ground.
Hmm.
I might have been able to play in the NBA if I was a half a foot taller.
You might make an interesting point. All right, Danny, what's going on?
I think cutting 2 weeks off the beginning of the season is probably the only good thing to do. I mean, with the weather being as crappy as it is, it's tough to watch it. And I know they want to try and put them in warmer cities, but it's just not feasible. But, I mean, the main point comes down to if your team sucks at the end of the year, you're not watching regardless. So if there's 30 games less or 30 games more, you're not watching if they suck. So I think got to get better baseball in Chicago, and
that'd be nice.
We don't really care how long the season is.
That'd be nice. Yeah, Danny, thanks.
And again, this is the best time of the year. Spring training going into the first game because you think your teams are alive. But realistically speaking, the Cubs and the Sox aren't really alive. High hopes where?
No, I'm saying there aren't high hopes. Okay. I know. Yeah. I know what you mean.
I don't have high hopes.
I don't know if there were high hopes in Seattle last year, though, and look how that worked out. Now, they're a totally different situation, and you've got maybe baseball's most exciting young player, the reigning AL Rookie of the Year, and some other really good pieces. But anything can always happen in baseball. We do say that. I mean, I think at least on talent, if the White Sox stayed healthy in their division, they should be competitive most of the year. To me, there's no reason they shouldn't be. They shouldn't be a 75-win team. That'd be an epic fail. Let's go to Ray on the South Side. What's up, Ray?
Ray!
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's going on, Ray?
The guy before just kind of stole my thunder, but I was thinking if they keep the schedule 162, there's got to be some guy that could figure out to keep everyone in a warm city or a dome for the first, 6 weeks? So there's no cold games and at least it's nice out. They got to figure that out. There's enough teams, right? There's enough teams in warm cities or domes. No?
Are there, though, Ray? I mean, for 6 weeks, that's a lot of games. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, all the West Coast teams, all the Arizona teams, all the Florida teams.
Yeah. Well, you only have one team in
Houston,
Arizona,
teams in domes.
Texas.
Houston has a dome. Texas.
You got two. I'm looking for
like Minnesota. You can't play in Minnesota.
Ray, thanks, buddy. They do outdoors.
Well, that's my point, though. I mean, you'd want to get out of Minnesota.
York, that new the new stadium they built in Texas. The ballpark at Arlington, I'm guessing here, was probably in the 25 to 30 year old range, give or take?
It was definitely there in the 90s when I was playing Dallas. So 94, 95, it was definitely there.
Okay, so getting a little older, not a bad looking stadium, but outdoors, you know, in June, July, and August in Texas.
Tough. And the ball used to fly out of that park.
They built Globe Life is across the street, Yerk.
Right.
Well, you saw it. We were there. By Texas Live.
Right.
That stadium looks awesome, man. It's closed, and it boy, does it look nice. I mean, right across the street from the old ballpark at Arlington, where the Texas Live is, you know, and then you can walk.
How do you whack taxpayers every 30 years for a new stadium? And that stadium's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
It's not outgrown. They had restaurants in the outfield.
I don't know.
I mean, it was nice.
I'm telling you, I'm going to be so livid like 3 years from now when the Bears start asking for public money. And I'm all gung-ho about, like, moving to Arlington, and I'm going to be so pissed when they start asking for public money.
Why?
Because I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to pay for your stadium. Well,
who wanted public money didn't get it.
Who wanted public money?
Tom Ricketts.
They didn't get it. That's true.
They had to do it by themselves.
So you think the Bears can do it by themselves?
Remember Ram was here?
I do.
Ram said, no. You support the other guy. No. You will get no money from the city of Chicago,
right?
You will
get nothing in life.
So they said, fine, we'll do it ourselves. I have a feeling there's not a lot of hunger to subsidize sports programs.
I don't want to do it. Yeah. I want the Bears to build a new stadium, a new beautiful state-of-the-art stadium, and get out of Soldier Field. But you're right. I don't want to pay for it.
That's everything, right? Everything. I don't want to subsidize it.
No.
You want to move to Chicago? You want to get the benefits of the Chicago? You want to move to Arlington because you think it's better? Go pay for it.
That's what I say. Amen, brother. Run for office. I'm with you.
Yeah.
As a resident of Illinois and Cook County, I'm very scared that at some point.
The problem is, Carm, that the people that are financing campaigns are the people that want everything.
Yeah.
They want TIFs, tax increment financing. They want the government to pay for everything without putting a thing on their tickets, you know, without charging an X amount of dollars for their tickets either.
Mm.
So they're the ones that pay for the campaigns. They're the ones spending all the money with 7, 5, and 2, and 9. So they're the ones that want you to do what they want you to do when you decide that you want to run for government.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're paying for your own signs.
Right, yeah.
You're paying for your own commercial TV time.
All I know is I don't want to pay for a new Bears stadium. I guess they said they'll pay for the stadium, but then, we're going to need your help, though, to build the entertainment. That's the last thing I want to pay for. I'd probably rather build the stadium than your entertainment district that's going to make you gobs of money. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll take more of your phone calls coming up next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Carmen and Yurko are back. This is Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Jesse Rogers, you know, I mean, he knows baseball.
Jesse.
He agrees with us. He thinks there's no doubt baseball would stand to benefit long-term if they just lopped off games. He likes the idea of expanded postseason in September. He can make up some of the revenue that way. Jesse also tweeted this, Yurko. Final spring numbers, now that spring training is officially over. You ready?
Yeah.
New rules are in for at least spring training. Major takeaways. This is from Jesse on Twitter, at Jesse Rogers ESPN.
Major takeaways from Jesse Rogers.
Spring games were 26 minutes shorter.
26 minutes.
In 2023.
So that went from 4 hours to...
No, it didn't go from 4 hours.
3 hours and what? 34 minutes?
Stop it. Spring games were much shorter. If you listen to them here on your home for the Sox, you notice that. And how about this? Without the shift, Yurko, BABIP, which is batting average on balls in play.
Right, BABIP.
BABIP for lefties went up from 314 to 327. It was basically flat for righties. Jesse's got a whole story. If you go to his Twitter, you can link to a whole story.
314 to what?
On .com. Lefties went from 314 to 327. That's pretty good, I feel like.
It's 13 points, Carm.
Yes, it is.
13-31. You're looking at probably, what is that, a 5% increase?
Is that the desired effect?
4% increase?
4%, give or take.
Somewhere. Is that what you wanted? Is that what they were looking for?
I wonder if they had a number in mind.
At least it didn't go down.
It did not go down.
Okay.
Can you imagine?
So it went up.
It's going to be good for guys like Schwarber.
Yeah. Of course, when he's hitting them into the seats, it don't much matter, does it?
Well, and he hits them into the seats a lot.
42 of them, to be exact, last year, Carm.
No, 46, wasn't it?
15 in the postseason career.
I know. It's amazing. Wasn't it 46? Sure, it
could be.
I think it was.
I thought it was 42.
He hit 46 bombs, I think, last
year. Good for him.
Would you bet him again to be the home run champ? Well, see, the problem is when Vegas does these, they don't do leagues. You got to win
right.
Outright.
You got to win outright.
Would you bet him to win it, or does Judge win it again?
Yeah.
He hit 46. He led the National League.
My buddy Ray Lunds put something together. 13 warm weather dome teams, probably enough to host for at least a month in April.
Okay.
13.
Are the owners there cool with that because they're sacrificing? Aren't they sacrificing something by having so many of their home games when school is still going on?
Yeah, the owners would be sacrificing because the kids wouldn't be available.
Right. You know what I mean?
Unless they play night games everywhere else, they don't care. They're not playing day games. If you're playing night games, you can start at 6 o'clock and get things done.
No, but even I feel like.
But it's a competitive imbalance if you're playing your first month on the road.
Totally. And I still feel like there's a school issue. Even a night game, I feel like parents are less willing to go to a game at night because, you got to get up and go to school in the morning. You know, it's still kind of in the summer, doesn't matter. 7:10 game, yeah, let's go. Kids can stay out till 10:50, doesn't matter. During the school, if you got young kids, during the school year, how many night games are you going to if the kids got to get up and go to school the next day? Speaking of that, I want to read something. And back out to the phones here in a second. But just talking about the fan experience and everything else, I want to read you something real quick from the owners' meetings in the NFL. These wrapped up yesterday. We can get into a little bit more of the things that they did approve, Yurko, the rules changes that they did approve, including a little tweak to how many short week games you can play during the season. But I want to read this. While the table proposal and subsequent modification on the final day of the league's annual meetings in Phoenix had support from a sizable number of clubs, others met with tepid reactions. Some were adamantly opposed, including New York Giants owner John Mara, who called the idea abusive. And this is the idea that they could potentially flex games into Thursday night. So apparently this came up at the owners' meetings. It was tabled for now. But Mara said owner support for the proposal was close, and he's concerned that a vote is going to come up when they meet in the spring next month, and he thinks it's going to pass. A flexed game would be announced 15 days before the scheduled Thursday.
You screw
kickoff.
The people with flights, the visiting team guys coming in to see games, who've got hotel rooms scheduled for the weekends, all those groups that say, hey, let's get down to Miami or to Tampa, and then all of a sudden you screwed those guys.
This is what Mara said. You're exactly right. John Mara, amen, from the Giants, said, at some point, can we please give consideration to the people who come to our games? People make plans to go to these games weeks, months in advance. And 15 days ahead of time, we're going to say, sorry, folks, that game you were planning to take your kids on on Sunday at 1 is now Thursday night. Yeah. What are we thinking about? This should have been vetted with the Health and Safety Committee. It should have been vetted with the Competition Committee, and it was not. They tried to just push it through. Roger Goodell pushed back against Mara's assertion that the practice would be quote-unquote abusive, saying that the league is trying to balance the best interest of in-stadium fans with those watching on TV. Quote from Roger Goodell, I know Yurko will love this, there isn't anybody in any of our organizations that doesn't put our fans first.
Yeah, that's a crock of you-know-what. I said it earlier today. That's a crock. This is for Jeff Bezos. That's what this is for. They promised him numbers. Those numbers have failed. They promised him numbers that you'd have a X amount of people going to Amazon Prime, and it hasn't happened.
Ding, ding, ding.
It hasn't happened. Okay? Because maybe people don't like Amazon Prime.
Well, I also think the slate of games last year did turn out to be pretty bad.
Well, I mean, that's the way. Hey, what are you going to? The new guy comes in, automatically he gets the crazy. Remember the crap we had to put up with at ESPN?
Yes.
The crappy schedules we kept getting on Monday night?
Yes.
The rule they made where every team has got to be on Monday night?
Yes.
Yeah, you ended up with garbage after garbage after garbage. Do you think they were giving the benefit of the doubt to their partners at ESPN? No. Now all of a sudden, do you want to take care of Bezos?
Yurko's on it. You missed nothing,
my friend.
You know
what I'm
saying?
Friend. No, I know what is going on. It's got nothing to do with the fans. It's got nothing to do with the health of players. It's that him, the guy in charge, the guy that's collected over $500 million from the league,
amazing.
That guy made promises to another rich guy,
yes.
And those promises have failed to come through, and now they're trying to make good.
Yeah.
We're trying to make good. And then what the commissioner is telling one of the owners is, go blow it out your ass, champ. Okay? Because we're putting a lot of money in your pocket. Okay? Well, what I got to do is make this guy that paid billions over 10 years, I've got to satiate him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
I'm sure.
So you, one of 32, shut your mouth, Mr. Owner, while I make sure this guy gets taken care of. This follically challenged individual gets his money's worth.
The best is that when Yurko gets going, the insults just come pouring out of him, too, which is, makes the rant even better.
Well, just observations.
I think you are 100% yeah. right. Yeah. I yeah. do. I think you're right. I think Bezos made a stink.
Yes, he did.
And I think you're right. And I think Mara even indicated that, like, wait a minute, where did this come from?
Yeah,
you're proposing this now without us?
Yeah, without it being properly vetted. You know exactly where it came from.
John Mara, I got to say.
I mean, the office of Amazon Prime. And then Goodell took the eraser and put the NFL shield over it. Said, look what we thought of.
Josh is in Bloomington on ESPN 1000. What's up, Josh?
Hey, love the show, guys. A bit hurt about the balding joke, but I'll let it slide.
Well, it's not a balding joke. It's an observation.
It's just an observation of
you
one bald man,
you are either follically
Josh.
Challenged or you are not.
Yeah.
Bezos is follically challenged.
But anyway, I have a crazy idea that baseball, in terms of how they set up their season, leagues, moves maybe back in time a bit closer to kind of what they do with cricket, with different leagues, different types of gameplay. You know, with cricket, you got like the T20, you've got test matches.
I got no idea what any of that means because I don't ever
know what
watch
he's talking
cricket,
about.
All right.
Yeah.
Leave it to Yurko to know what he's talking about. I have no clue.
Right. You got test matches. What's the other one you talked about?
T20s.
Cricket matches can last for 5 days.
I don't understand. I've never understood
that. Yeah. Cricket matches can last for 5 days.
So what, instead
you got a guy that's got like 789 runs.
I don't understand that.
Setting records.
So, Josh, what do you mean? So you instead of just an A and an NL, you have different like gameplay, more leagues?
Well, I say step one, you reduce the season, right?
Okay. That we all agree on.
Step two is you increase events, for example, like the World Baseball Classic,
mm-hmm.
which I think was great. And then in terms of the games during the season, you don't have to have a game every day. And I think you could change it up in terms of, you know, what are these teams doing? For example, you could have a game where we're not doing baseball, but it's like a home run derby between mm-hmm. two teams.
Yeah.
And they put their best five. The other team comes and they put their best five. And then, you know, you're still using the stadium. You're still getting revenue.
You're getting,
right?
Yeah. You're getting radical with some of that, Josh. And Josh, we got to run because we're up against the break. You're getting radical with some of that.
No, they just want
but
to.
It's
like,
interesting. It's different.
Like Europe has Champions League. Right now, they're in Euro qualifying. Everybody took the week off last week, and they have Euro qualifying where the countries are playing each other.
Right.
Spain played Scotland. Germany
played Belgium.
Italy played England. Croatia beat up on Turkey.
I think Italy lost.
So, yeah. I mean, they had all those mandates. They had two of them. So, European qualifying started this week.
So, this is for Euros, for the European Championships?
Euro 2024. Yeah,
okay,
you got your qualifiers now.
Got it.
So, you'll do that over the course of the next year. Before 2024,
same ticket price to go watch just 5-on-5 home run derby. That's interesting. It's radical. 312-332-3776 is the number if you want to jump in. We're a day away from opening day. We got a lot to talk about. More of these NFL owners meeting stuff and the things that were coming out of there. Some of the proposals that did pass, a few tweaks to the rules, and the very latest on Lamar Jackson and what he's hoping for. We'll talk about that coming up next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. Listen to us now, live on the ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Carmen and Yurko, hope you're having a great day. Sun's back out, a little cool. Tomorrow, temperatures in the upper 40s, low 50s for opening day on the north side. We're going to be at Old Crow with Miller Lite on Clark, just south of the ballpark. Come by and see us. Full 4-hour ride tomorrow. We're in for Greeny. So 10 until 2. Cap and Hoodie kick things off bright and early. 7 until 10 tomorrow live at Old Crow as well. And then Monday for White Sox opening day at home. Remember, they open on the road against the defending champs tomorrow.
They do.
We are going to be at Buffalo Wings and Rings having a great time. 35th and Halstead. Again, 10 until 2. Come by and see us for the White Sox home opener against the Giants on Monday.
I can't wait to start breaking down baseball games on a daily basis.
Love being out and about.
Yeah.
Oh, I know you.
Well, I like being out and about. I mean, that's always fun. I'm talking about the classic breaking down of baseball games, the analyses.
How the bullpen was handled on game four of 162.
Early. I mean, last thing we need is extra innings, you know, and I know they've tried to truncate extra innings, but I don't want to set my bullpen in a bad way on day one.
I don't either.
Might affect them in game 162, Carm.
You never know. Once they get it down to game 130, it'll be much better. A day after Lamar Jackson announced he had requested a trade from Baltimore, the former NFL MVP was back on social media defending why he didn't play in last season's playoff game. He wrote, quote, "Let's get real."
Was he hurt? If he's hurt, that's all that matters.
That's what Bjork, he says, quote, "Let's get real. I'd rather have 100% PCL than go out there, play horrible, forcing myself to put my guys in a bad situation. That's selfish to me. I don't remember me sitting out on my guys weeks 1 through 12. How come all of a sudden I sit out because money's involved, in which I could have gotten hurt any time within that time frame?
All right.
When we know the Super Bowl has been on my mind since April of 2018. Right.
PCL is different than ACL. ACL, you are shut down permanently. Do you remember Pisa Tia?
Samoa.
Tia
Pisa
Samoa?
Tino Samoa.
Yes. That's him. Remember him? He tore PCL.
From the Bears.
He came back after a handful of weeks, tried to go on it. It didn't work that well.
Mm.
Okay? I'd prefer my players to be 100% healthy. And if he was hurt, he was hurt, period. That's just the way it is. And 4 or 5 weeks may not be the requisite amount of time to have a 100% PCL. Now, if you intimated that if you had a contract, you'd be willing to play.
Right. I don't think he did that.
I don't think he did either. But if that was going on and that kind of thing was happening, then it would raise its ugly head then.
Right.
I don't think that happened. And if you're injured, you're a quarterback. And you're also awaiting a new contract.
Mm.
I think you put caution to the wind. You'd like to play, but if you're not 100%, you can't play.
3 days before the Ravens playoff loss, Jackson ruled himself out with a tweet saying that his knee remains unstable and that the injury was more serious than they had originally believed. So, didn't feel like he was healthy enough to
all
play.
All possible. Absolutely. 100% all possible. He's in a trick bag now. He's come out and he said he's not happy. He's come out and said he wants to be traded. They've put the tag on him. Nobody's going to give up draft equity and pay you. You're not doing both. If he was a free agent, they'd pick him up and they'd give him what he wants.
Mm.
Okay? He's not. And that's part of the collective bargaining agreement and all the rights that have been given away over the course of a lifetime by the NFL players. Okay?
Right, meaning
that's
the franchise tag.
The franchise tag and the transition tag.
Yeah.
Okay, and the fifth-year option now on first-round draft choices.
Terrible.
But, so there he is. He's got a choice. He can sign the tender, play for 32, or he can come to an agreement on a deal, realizing his only leverage is not to play. Mm-hmm. And is that what he wants? He's 26. He could possibly sit out a year. Don't look at the Le'Veon Bell situation as a model thing for you to want to do. And think, you know, okay, well, Le'Veon Bell did it. Look what happened to Le'Veon Bell. Bad things happened to Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell was a stud at Pittsburgh.
He was also a running back.
Right, was running back. But he wanted to get paid, though. He sat out. Remember, he sat out?
He sat out the whole year.
Okay. How'd that go?
Never got the full contract he was hoping for and didn't even play
much longer. How'd Todd Bell and Al Harris do back in the day?
Not good.
When they held out for the year.
They missed winning a Super Bowl.
Well, they did that. They're missing the Super Bowl. But the point is, when they came back, they never recovered that year.
Mm.
They never got that year back. So at 26, you might be more than willing to sacrifice that year. You might be willing to do it. But they still got control.
Yes, they do.
They still got control. They just put your thing on hold for 1 year. You're going to come back. You're still going to have the franchise tag on you. Still going to be there. Put you on the non-football injury list. That's where you go.
See, the tag thing makes it complicated. You just laid it out for everybody. Like, yeah. The idea of paying him and giving up the compensation.
Right.
You know, Greeny said something on Get Up this morning, and it just made me go, that's kind of interesting. But again, I think it gets to your point that the Jets aren't going to want to give up that compensation. But Greeny was just saying, why don't the Jets go to the Packers and say, listen, you don't want him. You said it. Here's our offer. You've got 48 hours. If you don't take it, fine. We'll go deal with Baltimore. Now, that's probably a little bit of a bluff on their part, I think, for the reasons you explained. But it also made me go, it's kind of interesting. Like, if I'm the Jets at some point, and I'm annoyed by the way this is going, now you're caught in the Packers' petty game, that the Packers are playing this game. I'm sorry, it's surprising me. I keep being told, well, no, they want to stick it back to Rodgers. They don't want him anymore. They told him as much. Why don't they just wash their hands of this?
No, why?
Because he can't go back and play there, though.
He's an asset. He's an asset. You don't give assets away.
But then why do you tell everybody you want to give him away?
You don't give assets. It's what he's wanted. They've acknowledged the fact that he's wanted this for an extended period of time. They say, yes, we'll move him. The Jets have wanted him. They'll come to reach an agreement on something. The agreement doesn't have to happen today. It doesn't have to happen tomorrow. The agreement needs to happen maybe before the
draft.
The draft, maybe.
Do you think they're worried before in New York that it won't get done? Or do you think they know they'll ultimately
get it? I don't think New York really, one way or the other, believes that the Packers can do anything else.
Okay.
The Packers' choice is to trade him to the New York Jets or they'll keep him. They don't want to keep him. You know that, and I know that. Right. Okay. They want conditions. If he's successful, they want it to become a first-round pick. If he's not successful, it's second-round pick. Okay, if he's successful, it's first-round pick. What they want is if he only plays 1 year of that contract, goes back to being a third-round pick.
Mm.
Right? Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
All right, the Jets are like, okay, you guys want to be cute? Let's really be cute. He plays the 1 year for us, he retires. It's a third-round pick, not a second-round pick.
I love the games. Yeah, you've got your Packer alumni shirt on today, too.
I do. I've got it on. It was sitting there on the floor for an extended period of time, and I decided to go ahead and fire it on today.
Awesome,
Packer. Didn't know we'd be talking about my man, Aaron Rodgers.
We talk about him every day.
I like him. He's a fan. Plus, he's a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson is. For the New York Jets, he's a better quarterback.
I think so.
He is. Whether anybody likes it or not, they don't have to like it.
For the Jets right now,
it's just a fact. Okay? Now, better quarterback for this year, a better quarterback for 4 or 5 years, I think Lamar Jackson's your better option.
I think you're right.
Okay, so that's something that needs to be considered also.
Rick Hahn just provided an update on Liam Hendricks. Find out the news coming up when we return in just 2 short minutes.
My flowers.